The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Thank you for the blessing of your word. Thank you for moving your servant out of the way so that your word would not be distorted. There will not be any freedom to say what I think it means, but Lord, what you said. Pray that for those of us who need comfort, you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. What an awesome God we serve. And Jesus, we're talking about you today. God the Father, thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, thank you for sending your Spirit. May this verse be taught by being controlled by your Spirit. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
If you heard a praise God like Joe up here, you know you're visiting. If you hear an amen, you know they're visiting. Make them feel at home. Did you just say amen? Ushers? Can you roll this man out of here? John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Praise God, we're going to move to verse 2 today. We need to pray we get out of verse 2. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When you walked in today, and when you looked at all those plush seats, that's what went through your mind, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes.
Wow. They spared no expense for those chairs. When you pick the chair that you are now sitting in and you didn't think about whether it was really going to hold you up, you just aimed and collapsed.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. How do you know that someone made that chair? Now, if you're taking the class on Wednesday night, the doctrine class, El zippus lippus uppus. That's a new Greek disease I want you all to have if you're in the class. How do you know that there was a maker for that chair? That there was a creator of that chair? How do you know that? Man, this is going to be a rough crowd. No respect. I feel like Roger Dangerfield. Is that his name? He's dead too, right? Yeah, he's dead. Feel dead sometimes. Come on now. Just throw something out so I can move on.
Faith?
You don't need no faith. What's that? Stamped on the bottom? Now, that's a Christian right there. Way to go, brother. I loved it. I didn't even think about that. But oh, what was that? It wouldn't be there if it wasn't a maker. It had to be made, and if it was made, there has to be a maker. You don't just show up a chair, you walk in, and here they are. How do you and I know just by looking at ourselves, that was a maker? Because we are here. We're stamped on the bottom. I'm afraid to go look. There was a day back in our history there would be a stamp there. You got to come to the conclusion that if you see something that is more than nothing, and nothing is simply a zero with the rim kicked off, nothing. If it is something, there has to be a maker. And the more complicated that which you see, the maker must be more complicated in his wisdom to make it. Can you think of anything that is more complicated than the human body? Better be some intelligent designer that made who we are and what we are. Good to see you, man. Make sure I see you after the service, okay? Got a question for you. Messed up my sermon, man. What's wrong with you? I know there's a maker because I just see a friend over there. Somebody made it. Now, most people think, well, that come from mom and dad. Well, who made mom and dad? Well, that come from grandma. Who made grandma? Who made your great-grandmother and grandfather? Who made your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- has to make them. And in the beginning. Now, we already established, you missed last week, you get that. Because when we talk about the word, in the beginning was the word, we're not just talking about the word, we're not just talking about speech. Another way of saying it was, in the beginning was the word, in the beginning was action. By God. And that action was with God. And that action was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now we have to reestablish what we're talking about. It sounds as though verse 2 is saying the same thing verse 1 is saying. But it's something that's much more important out of verse 2 because it says the same was in the beginning with God. Thus, we prove again there's more than one person, yes. But we're not talking about persons. We're talking about God. So if he was with God, he has to be also God. Because when we talk about beginning, we're talking about time. You see, you can't be talking about in the beginning when God started, because God didn't start. One of the characteristics of God is he has always been. And if he has always been, that there was no creation of him. God the Father, God the Son, having the same characteristic as God the Father, God the Son never had. And we're going to get into that when we get over here in verse 5. Get over here in verse 9, 10, and 11 sometime next year. Hopefully. 2012, before the earth ends. There is something about this God in the beginning who helped start that which we know as time. Because after God finished with time, time would not exist anymore. Thus, if he has to exist because of time, we're all in trouble. He is above time. He controls time. And if God is not through working with you and he seems like he's running out of time to you, that's no problem because he can create more time to whip up on us. Has no trouble more than us. God is not in a rush because he's not limited to time. God is the eternal now. That's why he doesn't get tired. That's why he don't throw his hands up and go, oh, I've had it. It's like a million years to God, 1 second. Why? Because he's not living in the beginning. Always remember that means at creation. In the beginning. The same was with God in the beginning. Now, I want to show you something. Is that okay? Verse 3. All things. Now look at verse 1 and 2. Talks about a God who always existed, did not come into being. And then verse 3, 4, and 5 talks about everything that has come into being. See it? 1 and 2, who's never had a beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that which has come into beginning by he who has no beginning and knew how to make in the beginning everything that needed to be made. Verse 3. And all things were made by him. By him who? And without him was not anything made that was made. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I asked the question, which God? You see, you and I got to answer that question. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, last week we said, in essence, are all the same. Now, if they're in essence all the same, there's no difference. But in roles, there's always submission. God the Father is always the head. And the question that you and I got to come to is, does God the Father, or God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit ever gets out of their roles? When we talk about marriage, husband and wife, in essence, you are the
same.
There's no difference. Husband and wife, you are the same. But when it comes to roles, you're never the same. There's headship and submission. Well, I don't like that. God didn't ask us if we like that. That is the situation. You come together, you discuss in essence, and you talk it out because you are the same. If you can't come to a conclusion, role kicks in. Headship. And ladies, if you're married, there's no submission if you're not married to some jackleg dude that's trying to get you to submit. Can I have an amen? If you want her to submit, put a ring on it. And don't make it cheap. Because if it turns her finger green, you got problems. Now, as green as I'm going to get is right here. Can I have an amen? Just to make sure, I drove a diesel truck to church this morning. That's real non-green. Get out the way, ladies. If you're married, wives, submit. Duck out the way so God can have a straight shot right in his chops. God created it. It's the most magnificent thing in the world. So when God is used in the Bible, don't you ever forget what we're going to deal with today. When God is used in the Bible and it does not tell you which God is talking about, only thing you got to do is look at the role of that God that is talking about. And you can always know which God. In the beginning, God created. Let's find out which one of the gods we're talking about. You know, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people believe, you know, God the Father was the creator. Just kind of take it for granted. Some believe, you know, it's Jesus Christ. Some believe the Holy Spirit worked. We're going to find out today, and we're going to deal with evolution. Those of you that are Christians that's trying to make evolution and creation work together, they don't. Science exists because of God.
Amen.
Christians started the study of science. You know why Christians started the study of science? They believe that if God is an orderly God, what he has done is orderly. And if it's orderly, it can be studied. And then man got educated beyond their intelligence and tried to move God out of the order. Okay, can I go to this? We're going to run to a lot of verses today, but we at least have gone to verse 2 and 3. You got to admit that. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. The pastor is hot. Woo! Turn with me to a little book that's the very next book to the right of the book of John. Can someone tell me what that book is? Ooh, somebody knew. It's the book of Acts. Go to chapter 20 of the book of Acts. You've got to speed it up now. No slow Bible verse finding. Verse 28. Acts 20. Check this out. Take heed. Take what? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. What is the only way you can find out which God is being talked about in verse 28 of Acts 20? Go to his role. God the Father shed blood? Did God the Holy Spirit shed blood? Did God the Son, Jesus Christ, shed his blood? So, since it says God, the only way to find out which God is to go to the role of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it tells us in Acts 20, 28 that the God that has done this is Jesus Christ. So do you think that will work as we go through here? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 3, book of John, chapter 1. All things. Now we're talking about out of verse 1 and 2, by him must be Jesus Christ. And without Jesus, let's go ahead and just implement it. Verse 1, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God, taking action, and the same Jesus was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. Pretty clear?
Pretty clear. Yes, sir. Very plain.
But it's hard to build a doctrine off of one verse in one place. Let's go back over here to Genesis. Jenny assists, because it's going to assist me in dealing with something today, because this is what gets me. Common sense should not be called common sense anymore because it's not so common. Let's look at this. If you are here today and you believe in what we call theological evolution, that God and evolution work together over millions of years, billions of years. You know what? I could walk with you a little bit if you just kept it at millions, but only a few millions, like seven at the most. Some of you still is saying, no, Pastor, we can't even go with millions. That would mean God still got a problem. I got a problem. If it's just millions, so I take what I said back. Is that okay?
Yes,
it's always good to correct yourself when you find out you're wrong.
Yes,
sir. Millions is too many. Whoa, what about thousands? Thousands, 6,000 or 7,000 at the most. Because I got a problem. I got a problem. I got a real serious problem. Now let's see what the problem is. What the problem is. Genesis 1 verse 3. And Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. Because we've already established in Genesis 1 verse 1. By going back to John 1, going back to Acts 20, 28, that the God in verse 1 is the second person of the Trinity. So in the beginning, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. And Jesus said, verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. And Jesus saw the light, that it was good. And Jesus divided the light from the darkness. And Jesus called the light day. I like this. And the darkness he called night. And leaving, and the evening was the morning. And there was evening with the first morning. And that was the first day. Does anyone get it? Because there's a lot of Christians that say the one day was not like the 24-hour day. It was like millions of years, thousands of years, just that one day. And that's how science and God and creation can work together, and there doesn't have to be a conflict. Yes, it does. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. Now you go, well, wait a minute. How can Jesus go ahead and say this is day and this is evening and this is called water and all these kind of things? I don't know. But I got an example for you. If God can trust a man to name things, do you think he can trust his son, who is God, to name things? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? All of you know what I'm talking about. And God said to Adam, come on, someone get a pastor, amen. And God said to Adam something like this. Adam, yo, Southern Greek. Well, at that time, it had to be Hebrew, the Southern Hebrew. Yo, with an accent. I want you to do something. What's that? I'm going to bring all the animals by you, and I want you to name every one of them. Now, it's one thing to name something. Can I have an amen? It's another thing to name it so well that it keeps the name through generation after generation after generation after generation. And God brought a male by Adam and said, what is that? Adam said, I think I'm going to call that a cow. All right. Way to go, baby. Here's something else. Horns, just like the other one. Big, brown, just like the other one. I already named that cow. God said, Adam, take a closer look. Okay, horns, big, brown. Ooh. I'm going to name that bull. Can I get an amen? And then he brought a rooster, a chicken by. What'd you call that? Oh, I'm going to call that a rooster. What'd you call that? Oh, that's a hen. You can't fool me the second time. Way to go, baby. What you think I'm going to name that one? Oh, that's a pig. Yeah, pig. What you going to name this one? Ooh, that's a boar. And Adam started realizing something. He was a bull without a cow. He was a rooster without a hen. Can I get an amen? And since he didn't have a pig, he was a boar. He was bored out of his life. And he said, well, wait a minute, Lord, you know, yeah, what about me? And every name that Adam chose until he chose his mate was from man. Now, if Adam can do a good enough job naming things, do you think the Son of God can? Oh, verse 6, Genesis 1, and God said, and Jesus said, and there was action taken. That's everything is the same, I just said. Let there be firmness in the midst of the waters. Verse 9. And Jesus said, and Jesus acted, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered. Verse 14, which is the fourth day. And God said, let there be light. God said, Jesus said, there was action taken. Let there be light in the firmament. Look at verse 20. And Jesus said, and God said, and the action was taken. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. That's fifth day. Sixth day, verse 24. And Jesus said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts. Boom. Sixth day, verse 26. And Jesus said, and God said, and action was taken. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all earth. Why do we know the names of these things? Adam had named them, but God created them. Houston, we have a problem, because you got to come to a conclusion. That conclusion is this. If evolution works, and none of the days were 24 hours, true or false? If none of the days were 24 hours, how can you go through the first 5 days and not make the sixth day not a 24-hour day? Now, if the sixth day was thousands of years, millions of years, I want to ask you a question. Because Eve was not made on the same day.
That's right. Come on.
That Adam was. So how old was Adam?
Yes, sir.
When God created Eve.
Oh.
That boy had to be thousands, close to millions of years old. All decrepit, creaked over, and perked up when he saw that woman after 5 million years. Now, there's a lot of us in here. Us men has got a little older. But to be able to go for a million. Ladies wouldn't even get married. Can I have an amen? I'm act like I'm talking to adults and y'all just shut down when the pastor make a point. I don't know. Connie, what do you think, bro? You think if it was thousands of years, how late do you think God finally made Eve for Adam? Danielle, what do you think, girl? If Adam was in the midst of a non-24-hour day, how long after Adam was created do you think God waited? And how old did Adam really live if that day represented thousands and millions of years? Makes no sense, folks. If you're going to make the first 5 days represent evolution, you can't decide that the sixth day doesn't. Or you can come to the biblical conclusion that every one of those days was based off of what the Bible says, translated in the right word, a 24-hour period. God, Jesus Christ, took action. Boom! Morning and evening, made everything for 6 days. And check this out. On the seventh day, he watched football. What game do you think he watched?
Seahawks.
We had to get God back on their side, sis. Hello. Can we talk a little bit about that? Did Jesus really create everything? Does the Bible push that Jesus, God, in Genesis 1:1, was the right God? Now, we already got John chapter 1, verse 3. Am I right? Without him, without Jesus, without God, without him taking action to open his mouth, to do what he is, give the word, that was nothing made that was made. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Is that a good book? All of them good, huh? Talk to me, Joe. Is that a good book? Make you want to, make your liver quiver.
Yes, sir.
Make your spleen lean. Woo, Revelation chapter 3, dealing with the church age, chapter 2 and 3. Chapter 4 through 21. It's not happened yet. It's coming. When we get to the end of the church age, let's look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Whoa. From the beginning, creation of that God. But, Pastor, you're really pushing it on that verse. That verse don't say nothing about Jesus. Really? I think it said Lord. Did I mess that up? Why it don't even say Lord? It said the great Amen. Is that Jesus? Well, I don't know. Let's go over here with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Let's bag it up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to put it in reverse, and we're going to bag up from Revelation all the way back up to John. Is that all right with you?
Yes, sir.
Check this out. The book of Hebrews. If you've never, ever studied the book of Hebrews, how many years were we in the book of Hebrews? Mark, you remember?
Too many.
Like the book of John? Hebrews chapter 1. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, the book of Hebrews, verse 1. Wow. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So verse 1, God is who? The Father. Verse 2, it breaks it down. God is who? The Son. Roll with me. Unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Ooh. No. I know some of you from Missouri. Look at verse 10. Hebrews 1. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. Boom! I got a reboomer. Anybody excited? Are you excited about that? Look, are we through yet? I don't think we're through. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Come on. We got more verses. Speedy. Speedy Gonzili. Chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? If we're talking about the invisible God and we have an image of the invisible God that we can see that is not invisible, who is the God we're talking about in this verse? I can't hear you. Oh, come on. You can come up with more confidence than that. Who is this? Okay. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? For by him, now this is talking about position, firstborn of all creation. Talks about position, not origin. Because if it talks about origin, it means he was created. He's the first thing created in creation. We know that isn't true. So what is this position stuff? He takes the preeminence. Okay? Ooh, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Numero uno, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, let me get you something. Jesus Christ is number one in everything. Why do you and I think that he's going to take second place to anything in our lives? Who created everything?
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
Who made sure it was done right? Can't hear you. Jesus. That was his role. They never get out of their role. God the Father didn't create anything. God the Holy Spirit didn't create anything. Did they do it in unison? The plan? The agreement? Yes. But who created? Psalms, as we close. I'm way over. Next time y'all get me up 15 minutes early. Look at Psalms 33. Let's close it out with Psalm 33. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. It doesn't say Jesus, but it does say, what's that word in that verse? Which one? God the Father? Was it God the Son or God the Holy Spirit? Lord. Who is called Lord? Even in the Old Testament, it was set who was going to be what and whose role is going to be taken. Yes, it is. Jesus Christ is the creator. He is preeminent in all things. And he will not settle for being anything but number one in your life.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.